I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And tonight, with the Lord's help, over the next few minutes, I'd like to continue our series about dilemmas and doubtful things. And certainly when we talk about issues that bring disagreements or dilemmas among Christians, the subject of clothing inevitably comes up. And in just a moment, I'll meet you there in Genesis chapter 3. I don't think that any of us can honestly say that God doesn't care how we dress. And even just a modest perusal of the scriptures will tell you that God is certainly concerned with how we clothe our body. But there is today a philosophy, especially among evangelical Christians, that I can wear whatever I want. God doesn't care. As long as my heart is right, it doesn't matter what I put on my body. And so tonight, I'm going to try to dissuade you of that notion. I'm just alerting you ahead of time. And I'm going to try to alert you to the fact that God really does care about our clothing. I also am very much aware tonight that it's unlikely I will have 100% agreement in the things that I say from this pulpit tonight from the majority of people in this room. I respect the right that each of you have the right and the responsibility before God to determine what God wants you to do. My goal tonight is not so much to change your mind, although perhaps some will have their minds changed. My goal tonight is for you to make a step in your heart that would say, Lord, what would you want me to do? Along the way, I'm going to speak about some things that are principles that we hold in our family, and I appreciate so much my wife helping with this in areas of modesty and teaching our girls about what it means to dress modestly and then doing the necessary thing of enforcing that modesty and helping with that, and certainly I also help with that. I'm thankful that my wife is in agreement with me about these things and always has been. And because of that, it's allowed us to have a unified front in helping our children to grapple with this very important and thorny issue. Now, tonight, everyone has standards of how you should dress, everyone. And there are differences in how those standards may match up, but everybody has lines. For instance, if we had someone walk in here tonight and I said, this is our special speaker for tonight, and he was wearing a Speedo, I would assume that most of you would have, you would take great offense at that. And I hope you would, actually. I hope you would be embarrassed, and I hope you would be incensed, and you would say, that is completely over the line. My point is, by using a rather outlandish example, to point out to you that we all do have an idea of what is proper or what is right in how people dress. We can also agree that, culturally speaking, that has changed dramatically in our country in the last 50 to 60 years. If we go back even farther than that, we know that the way that people clothe themselves in public has become something that I think, you know, people living 80 years ago, seeing how the average person dresses in public today, would be scandalized. They would not understand that sort of behavior. Can you agree with me about that? That things have changed, and not necessarily for the better. Tonight, I also want to recognize that this is first an issue of the heart. It's possible for someone to have very careful standards of modest clothing and for their heart to be filled with pride and self-righteousness, and this is not pleasing to the Lord. It's also possible for someone to have a heart that is very tender to the Lord, and yet they have not thought carefully or ever been challenged about the way that they are dressing. And so their heart is right with God, but they may be making some poor choices which are communicating something else to those who are looking on. Now tonight, it's necessary that we take some time to consider how we're dressing, and I'd like to take the opportunity to understand some scriptural principles that pertain to this important subject. We're not going to have time to deal with every single principle that applies, but I want to choose some broad principles which I believe will help us. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, the law of first mention helps us. And Genesis 3 and verse 21 is the first mention in the scriptures of clothing. Now, I know if you're thinking, you're saying, well, actually it was a little before that, the first mention, and that is correct. Genesis chapter 3, of course, is detailing the fall of man. And when Adam and Eve sinned, for the first time, their eyes were opened to the fact that they were naked. And they were ashamed of their nakedness. And Adam and Eve went and they made for themselves aprons out of fig leaves. When God later encountered them, God rejected their clothing that they had chosen for themselves. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." So in the very first mention of clothing that we find in the Bible, we realize that man had an idea of what was sufficient, and for some reason, God rejected what man had put together. Now, admittedly, God does not tell us exactly what it was about man's design that he did not approve of. We simply know that it was insufficient and that God gave Adam and Eve something better or something different. The word coats that is used in verse 21 is translated in other places in our Old Testament with the word robe. It is the idea of a long flowing garment, and clearly in this passage, there is the insinuation that animals were sacrificed to provide this covering, which is a beautiful picture of the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world as a covering for our sins. But there is also an important lesson in Genesis 3:21 that clothing does matter to God. In fact, it was one of the first issues that God dealt with concerning Adam and Eve when he met them in the garden. It was something that God felt to be important. Now tonight, consider with me for just a moment the problem that we have with clothing. And I'm going to try to be just as plain as I can about this, because I'm telling you from my perspective as a pastor, I sense a relentless pressure in this area. There is a constant pressing against what we would call the principles of modesty and decorum. And you might ask, where is that pressure coming from? Well, in our current world, most of that pressure is coming from worldly fashion designers. And I realize that none of the ladies in our church shop at Saks Fifth Avenue or some of those expensive stores. It's just not, you know, the designer trends. But what we need to understand is that the major fashion designers of the world have a trickle-down effect that goes all the way from Saks Fifth Avenue to Walmart. And eventually, those designs end up affecting and putting pressure on the supply of clothing that is available. And if you take the time, and I have taken the time, to understand the philosophy of these worldly fashion designers, it comes down to several key principles that they follow. One, is the artful use of nakedness. They recognize the power of nakedness, and especially of the careful and artful reveal of nakedness to be appealing to the human eye, especially to the male eye. And they design clothing with the intention of highlighting as much nakedness as is possible that they can get away with. Now, in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, the same pressure was there. They just couldn't get away with revealing quite as much nakedness. We've come all the way now in our current generation to where it's not unusual to see outfits which barely cover anything. It's almost embarrassing to call it clothing. And of course, if you pay any attention to the news and what goes on in Hollywood, then you know that the actors and actresses are constantly pushing the lines in this area of nakedness. Now, since the fall of man, nakedness brings shame and temptation and is intended by God to be covered. The scriptures are clear. Nakedness should be covered. We've just changed how we define nakedness. But obviously, the world resists this priority of God and seeks to highlight nakedness in increasingly new and creative ways. And so things that have become increasingly popular are the bearing of the midriff, the exposure of the undergarments, the highlighting of the sexual areas of the body. Nakedness. Nakedness is used quite effectively by these worldly designers. Obviously, most of this emphasis is on clothing that is available for female bodies because it is the male eye that tends to be attracted to this more so than the female eye. The second prevailing principle of worldly designers is the highlighting of sexuality. It is their intention, clearly stated, and you can find it all over the place if you want to know what their philosophy is. They are designing clothes to highlight, through provocative design, attention being drawn to the sexual parts of the body. They are trying to make their clothing sexy. They are marketing it to our children. Increasingly, my wife and I have commented in the past when we were trying to help our daughters find modest clothing in the store to wear. Clothing that is made for 7, 8, and 9-year-olds is being designed in provocative sexual ways. It is drawing attention to parts of a little girl's anatomy that nobody should be looking at. And this is disgusting. But this is intentional. This is what's going on. There is, third of all, a philosophy which is also widely understood in the fashion world, and that is a blurring of the lines between male and female. So they are purposely trying to blur the lines between men's clothing and women's clothing. And this started a long time ago, and they're really pushing the lines with it now. Much of this is because of the feminist agenda. It involves the idea that women need to be empowered to do things that men are doing, and therefore they ought to be able to dress in the same way that men are dressing. And now we've come all the way with that to where nobody hardly even discusses that anymore. That's just how it is. And now they are increasingly feminizing the clothing that is available for men. It's extremely frustrating to me to shop for clothing for myself. Generally, men have an easy go of it with clothing, but lately I'm finding that most of the clothing available to men is feminized. It's cut in unusual ways. And there is something metrosexual about it. I, for one, have no interest in wearing metrosexual clothing. And so it becomes frustrating to find clothing that is suitable. And of course, it's five times harder for the ladies to find clothing that is modest. So there's this relentless pressure. This is causing a problem. These unsaved fashion designers do not have God's priorities in mind, obviously. And they are usually known for pushing the limits of what is acceptable in society. They are upfront with the idea that they are seeking to change society through the designs that they are incorporating. It will come as perhaps no surprise to you that most of the male fashion designers, many of them are males, but most of them are homosexuals. And they are aggressively pushing a homosexual agenda, which I believe has a lot to do with the metrosexual look that is showing up in men's clothing. Because of this, it's become increasingly difficult to find modest and decent clothing, both for men and women. There, if you're not careful, can become a frustration with not finding modest clothing, which can lead Christians to give in, to say, I can't find anything. I can't find anything else. It's the best that I could find. This is especially tempting for parents who are trying to help their children find modest clothing, and they're constantly being frustrated. By the way, we do understand this pressure. It is very unusual for my girls to come back after shopping with something that they can actually wear. Most of the time, they do not find anything that is suitable for their body or for them to be able to wear that passes the approval of their mother. And so, as parents, we can become frustrated and we can say, "What? They got to wear something." And then we end up just grabbing something and letting them wear it. Of course, added to this is the pressure, especially among our young people who have a desire to fit in and not stand out from the rest of society. And if you dress in modest clothing, you are going to look different. Modest clothing is becoming increasingly rare and unusual. And it's to the point, and I think you'll understand what I'm saying, where if I see a woman who is modestly dressed, I have more than a strong hunch that she's a believer. Because nobody else really bothers to dress that way. And truthfully, most believers don't bother to dress that way. And so we think, okay, well, maybe that is someone who is a believer. This creates problems. This creates pressure. And then, of course, everyone, even within the church, is taking cues from everyone else. And so someone will wear something that looks cute, and someone will say, "Oh, that's nice. I think I'll try that." And then this is what I mean by this constant, just this pressure that is there, always pushing, always. And that's the world. That's the world trying to get us to conform to their way of doing things. And this creates some problems. This creates some difficulties. Some of the problems that are associated with this, and admittedly, much of what the Bible says about clothing and modest clothing is addressed to ladies. And that is because, typically speaking, it is the man who has the difficulty with lust because of his eye gate. And he is attracted to look at a woman's body. And if a woman is dressing in a way to attract that attention, it can be very, very difficult for a man to resist that temptation. And it is a terrible tragedy when that takes place in the house of God. And people are coming to try to worship the Lord and instead are being distracted by immodest dress. These are some of the problems that can take place. Men have their own problems with modesty, by the way. It's not just women who should be modest. Men should also be modest. But most women aren't the least bit concerned with how a man is dressed. They don't pay much attention at all to a man's body for the most part. This is not something that women struggle with. But I will tell you, with the increase in homosexuality, there's an awful lot of men who are out there looking at men. And that is a problem and something to be alerted to. So there's a problem with clothing. So I want you to think then, second of all, about some principles that concern clothing. What are some principles that we have from the Scriptures? Four thoughts that I want to share with you very briefly tonight. First of all is this very simple thought: clothing should cover nakedness. Clothing is intended by God. It was designed by God to cover nakedness. In the context of Genesis 3:21, it's clear that the coats of skin that God gave to Adam and Eve were designed by Him to cover their nakedness. The issue was their nakedness. Now, in the Bible, I don't have time to prove this to you tonight. If you want to study on it, see me later. But in the Bible, nakedness is generally defined as the part of the body that extends from the shoulders to the knees. So it takes in the thighs, the private parts of the body, the torso, and the chest. And God regards these areas as areas that should be covered. So clothing should cover nakedness. For instance, I have never understood why it is culturally acceptable for a woman to put on less than her underwear and go to the beach, and on the beach, it's okay. But if a man looked in the window of her house and saw her in her bra and her panties, she would call the police on a peeping Tom. That doesn't make any sense to me. There's something that is very strange about that. But you say, well, where is that coming from? It's coming from the constant push in our culture to uncover nakedness. God says nakedness should be covered. I want to point out to you that it's possible to technically cover nakedness, but still reveal the shape of the body in such a way as to be provocative. And this is done through the use of tight, stretchy clothing that is carefully designed, especially for women, to draw attention to the sexuality of the person who is wearing those clothes. Be cautious about this. Covering nakedness is also, there's a concern, in that it's possible to wear things that are just long enough and then struggle to keep your nakedness covered when you're sitting down or doing other activities. This applies to both men and women. I believe the standard is the same of the nakedness that should be covered. And I think, you know, many of you men, you like to wear shorts, but think about what happens when you sit down and your shorts come halfway up your thigh. So you were covering your nakedness while you were standing, but you sat down and you showed an awful lot of nakedness according to God's standard. So this isn't just something for the ladies. It's something for all of us to consider, that clothing should cover nakedness. Second of all, we know from the Scriptures that clothing should communicate modesty. Would you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2? 1 Timothy chapter 2. If I say some things that seem hard tonight, please understand that I'm saying them with love and because I care about our church, I care about our young people, and I think there's a place to say some of these things because we are living in a world that is pushing constantly on this and we need to give it thought. Clothing should cover nakedness. Clothing should communicate modesty. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 is particularly addressed to ladies. And it says this: in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now we see that God's intention is that ladies, Christian ladies, would wear modest apparel. Modesty is good and godly behavior. And modest apparel is clothing that communicates that the person who is wearing it is interested in being good and godly. It is clothing that says, I'm interested in God's priorities. I'm interested in purity. I'm interested in chastity. I'm interested in holiness. And this ought to be the message. You do know that your clothes are speaking a message, right? They're intended to communicate. Even the most worldly designers will tell you that clothes are a phenomenal communicator. Clothing should communicate modesty. Now, along with that modest apparel is shamefacedness and sobriety. And both of those words are emphasizing the idea that the woman is not dressing in such a way as to draw attention to herself. She's not being ostentatious in her clothing. She's not trying to get people to look at her. Our clothing should really speak for us about our desire to serve the Lord first and foremost. There would be a big problem if your clothing is primarily saying about you, I'm a sexy person and I'm available. That would not be the message that any Christian woman would want to communicate through her clothing. I don't think, anyway. I would think that would be the opposite of modesty. And God wants, ladies, I believe men also need to be modest in their apparel, but we ought to be communicating this modesty through our clothing. Now, I think much of the immodesty that we experience or that we see in the world around us is simply there through the power of influence. It's mostly there because someone saw something and they thought, well, that looks cute. And frankly, I'm going to go a little bit off the path here for just a moment and speak about the differences between men and women. And most women, when they think about clothing, they're not necessarily thinking in this way. And especially young ladies who are, their bodies are changing, they're growing up, they are becoming young women, and maybe something that fit last year, they put on this year, but things have changed, and it's not the same anymore. And you say, well, what needs to happen? Frankly, what needs to happen is moms and dads who understand these things better than young people need to sit down with their young people and help them understand. Dads need to help their daughters understand how a man thinks. And dads need to help their daughters understand when you dress this way, this is how men are going to look at you. Now, that requires some honesty on the part of Christian men with their wife and their daughters to help them understand the reality of how it is. But I believe that a lot of young ladies could be helped. I've said this before. It's appropriate for a dad to say to his daughter, nope, that's not going out of the house today. Go find something else to wear. And you say, but my daughter's going to be upset with me. But you would be better off as the protector of your daughter to tell her the truth, to tell her that there are things that are not acceptable. There are things that are going to draw the wrong kind of attention to her. And so dads can help their daughters and mothers can help their daughters. We can help our sons as well with what is right kind of clothing and what they should and should not be wearing. And I believe that's our responsibility as parents, to help our children with that. We know that they're going to come to the place in their life where they're going to be on their own and they're going to have to make their own decisions. But when they're under our roof and under our authority, it is our responsibility to help them with this. So clothing should cover nakedness. Clothing should communicate modesty. Third of all, clothing should be pleasing and glorifying to the Lord. The first concern about clothing isn't, do I like it? Is it comfortable? How does it look on me? The first question is this something that glorifies the Lord? Is this something that pleases the Lord? Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." The utmost concern of the believer is not what is most comfortable or what looks good, but our first concern is, what does the Lord think about this? Lord, is this okay with you? Is it all right with you if I wear this? Is this something that is appropriate? Is this something that communicates my love for God? And that will help a lot if you apply that standard, just like in so many other areas of your life. A fourth principle which helps us with our clothing is in Romans chapter 12. Turn over there. A very, very well-known couple of verses, and I want to apply this to our clothing. And the fourth thought is this: the clothing of a Christian should not conform to the trends of the world. Our primary concern is not what's in style. What is everybody else wearing? What is the way that everybody else is doing this? That's not our first concern. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a..." What is the next two words? "A living sacrifice." If my body is a living sacrifice, doesn't that mean that also what I put on my body should be a living sacrifice? That I ought to submit that to the Lord? I believe that is so. "Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, you know the difference between being conformed to the world and being transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be conformed means to be pressed into the mold. It's to feel the pressure of the world around you and to be pushed into that, to be compelled to dress in that way or to act in that way because that's what is expected. That's what everybody else is doing. God says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't do things just because everybody else is doing it. Instead, let your mind be transformed as it is renewed. And I would suggest that this takes place through meditating on the Scriptures and meditating on the character of God and seeking to be conformed to the image of Christ rather than to be conformed to this world. But what I want to point out to you is that we should be so careful not to be making our decisions on what we're wearing based on what the world is doing. I guarantee if you're going to the fashion magazines and looking at what everybody is doing and then trying to incorporate that, you are going to struggle in this area. Now, I'm not suggesting tonight that ladies in particular have to dress in a way that is like gray and drab and wear gunny sacks all the time. That's not at all what I'm suggesting. Actually, Proverbs 31 speaks about the virtuous woman and her dress, the way that she clothes herself, and she dresses in a quite elegant way, in a colorful way, in a way that is pleasing and feminine and glorifying to God. So I'm not suggesting that we all have to become Amish. In fact, I don't believe that would actually be what God wants from us at all, because I think that draws attention in a different way. So that's not the point. The point is we don't want to be conformed to the world. So before you start doing something because you saw it in a magazine or on a television program, it might be good to ask, is this actually pleasing to the Lord? Is this an issue of modesty? Is this something that I should step back from and hesitate, or should I step forward? Now, we realize that culture is always changing, and culture can be expressed through our clothing. And obviously, these principles apply broadly in all sorts of cultures. And I've commented before, even in my time in the ministry, I've seen a marked change in our culture regarding men wearing ties and suit jackets. I was talking actually with a funeral director the other day about this, and he was very frustrated. He was an older guy, and he is very frustrated. He said, I just don't understand the disrespect. He said, people come to funerals in their pajamas and their flip-flops. And he said, I don't understand that. I can't comprehend. He said, okay, not everybody has a suit and tie, but I just feel like people ought to have more respect than that when they come to something like a funeral. Now, he's not saved, and I was just listening to what he said, but I tend to agree with him. I believe that is true. But at the same time, we also understand, yes, our culture is changing. I mean, 50, 60 years ago, the Maytag repairman wore a tie when he came to fix your washing machine. And we don't expect that sort of thing anymore. We're not expecting that tradesmen are wearing ties that they're tucking into their shirts so they don't get them stuck in machinery. That's just not something. In fact, the vast majority of men aren't wearing suits and ties anymore. And it's come to the place where it's almost difficult to find a suit and a tie that you can buy. Most of the retailers that used to sell them no longer sell them. Or if they do sell them, they sell them for men who must be on the emaciation diet. I had to say that. So what I want to point out to you is that our, you know, as we're thinking about our clothing, our clothing should not really conform to the trends of the world. We're not trying to be trendy in our clothing choices. Our primary concern is not to fit in with the world around us, but rather to communicate a mind that has been transformed by the truth of God. All right. So those are four principles, which I hope will be a help to you. And if you can meditate on those, I think they'll bring some clarity. Third of all, for just the next few minutes, I want to speak about our practice in choosing clothing. Every day of your life, you get up and you choose something to wear, hopefully. And when we do so, all of us should seek to consistently apply scriptural principles in our clothing choices. When we go to the closet and we look at clothes, which, by the way, that is a whole nother thing. When you think about how many clothes we have in this world today, in our culture, compared to like our ancestors. Like, I think about my grandparents when they were first married. I think my grandpa had like a set of church clothes and a set of work clothes. And that's it. And that wasn't that long ago. But people just didn't have the income, nor were clothes readily available or that easily attained. Usually they had to be made by hand. We can go into stores and buy all kinds of clothing. We have all these shoes and clothes and all this sort of stuff. But when we stand in front of our closet or our dresser and we're going to choose the clothing that we're going to wear for the day, we need to, in our mind, think, now how do I apply scriptural principles in how I'm going to dress today? And we should really remain committed to not settling for anything less than what is pleasing to the Lord. We don't want to say, well, it's all I could find. There wasn't anything else available. I got frustrated looking and I finally just grabbed this. Please. The Lord will help you. I realize that it's difficult. I realize it's not easy. But please, each one of us should be committed to not just settling for wearing something because we couldn't find anything else or because it's popular and everybody else is doing it. A third thing about our practice is this. I believe you and I should be open to the Lord changing our choices in the area of our clothing. I believe we ought to be open to that. I believe we ought to have an open understanding. And if God wants to tweak the choices that we're making in our clothing, then I believe that that's something that we ought to be open to and allow the Lord to do in our hearts. That's the mark of someone who is submitted to the Lord. Now, he may not change anything. You may just be affirmed in exactly where you're at, but we all should be open to the Lord changing. And we ought to be careful not to just do things because, well, that's what we've always done, or that's how it's always been. And I'll give you an example. You know, when I was a young man, a kid growing up, in our house, we did not wear shorts at all. It was strictly forbidden. Not ever. We always, my brother and I, always wore long pants. We did that for years. That was the standard in our home. And that's fine. That was the standard that my dad had come to. That's what he asked of us, and that's what we conform to. Now, I have a tendency to lean towards that side and to say, you know, you're going to be hard-pressed to ever see me in a pair of shorts. I'm almost always going to be in long pants, and part of it is just that's how I was raised. And, you know, whatever. It's not a big deal. However, as I've studied the scriptures, I've come to the conclusion that the nakedness that God once covered is from here to here. And so I believe in the scriptures, you could have your nakedness covered, and as a man, you could wear some long shorts. And so, oh, okay, that's uncomfortable for me. That's different. So, again, you probably won't see me in long shorts. But I don't believe that there's something unscriptural about that. I believe there's an allowance in the scriptures for that. And then we try to make application of those kinds of principles, like with our guys here on, you know, at the school and with the youth group and that sort of thing. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit because I want to talk about, as a church, the way that we handle things. So I understand that many of you have different personal standards in this area. I'm hoping that the message tonight will provoke your thought in these areas and that you'll think through some of these things and just ask yourself, why do we do things the way that we do? Why have we made the decisions that we have made? But then as a church, we have some standards that we have established or that we have set that pertain to especially those who are in public ministry or those who are serving in ministries of the church, and then as well that apply to activities that take place here on the church property, at camps and things like that. And so let me talk for just a moment about some of those and give you some clarity because I feel like there may be a lack of clarity that some people have about some of these things. So let's talk about the men. I believe that men should dress respectfully to honor the Lord. A man's clothing should communicate masculinity and respect for God. If you're serving on the platform, we're going to ask you most likely to wear a tie and probably a suit jacket. If you're serving in some other areas, there may be some leeway with that depending upon what you're doing and depending on what service it is. Recognizing, for instance, on a Wednesday night, many of our men come straight from work and don't really have a chance to get into their suit, which explains why on a Wednesday night there's relatively few men who are wearing a necktie or a suit jacket anymore. And that's fine, and our culture is changing in those areas. But in general, like our choir, we ask the men who are going to sing in the choir to wear a coat and a tie, and then sometimes there'll be a special concert where it'll just be a white shirt and a tie, and that'll be clearly communicated. And that's for uniformity and respect, and that's just the way that it is. I mean, I don't have a problem with men wearing flannel shirts and blue jeans, but you're not going to sing in the choir in a flannel shirt and blue jeans because we want to convey a certain level of respect for the worship service and for the fact that we've gathered here to worship the Lord. So we ask the men to do that. At times when there's activities here on the church grounds, it may be permissible for men to wear long shorts. And in the event that you wear long shorts, men, you should make sure that it covers your nakedness both when you're standing and when you're sitting, which generally means that the shorts are going to need to be longer than the ones that you can easily find in the store, at least if your body is built like mine. And so a way to test that is to just sit down and see where those shorts come, and that'll tell you something about what we're looking for. And that is why most of the time with our young men, we just say, please wear long pants, because it gets really frustrating going around and trying to figure out whose shorts are long enough and whose aren't, and it's easier just to say, just wear long pants. Because if a guy's pants are a couple inches too short, it's not going to bother any of us. But we don't want to make a double standard where we're asking the ladies to dress a certain way and cover their nakedness, but making provision for the men to not cover their nakedness. Does that make sense to everyone? And that's exactly what I'm asking. Now, you may have a different way of determining that in your own personal life and how you apply that in your life. That's between you and God, but that's what I'm asking when you're here on the church property. And sometimes our teens ask about, you know, why can't we wear shorts to camp or this sort of a thing? And honestly, because it becomes so much of a frustration trying to keep it policed that it's easier just to say, wear long pants. I'm not saying we won't ever reconsider that, but at this point, that's where we've come to. Ladies, we ask the ladies to dress to cover their nakedness, being careful of the tightness or the clinginess of their clothes, as well as the length of their skirts or dresses. And we would ask that you would wear a skirt or a dress and not pants if you are serving in a public way here in the church. You should also, ladies, consider how slits are drawing attention to your body. And slits used in an inappropriate way will draw attention through flashing the skin to parts of the body that should not be accentuated. This is especially important for ladies who may be on the platform, because when you're in an elevated place on the platform, and I'm just going to speak very plainly, and people are sitting down there looking up, that increases the angle and the likelihood of them seeing something that they should not see. And so ladies who are on the platform in the choir or in special music should be careful about how they dress, because the last thing that you want to be doing while you're singing a special number to give praise to God is drawing attention to your body and causing men to stumble. You don't want to do that. That wouldn't be appropriate. And so I appreciate our ladies and their carefulness in this, but it's always good to remind and refresh everyone's memories about that. It's also important during activities outside and things like that, that ladies would dress modestly. And of course, when you're involved in activities and you're moving, your clothes are also moving with you. And so you need to think about how your clothes move with you, or if they move with you, and what might be uncovered in the process of playing volleyball or whatever, and make sure that you dress modestly in preparation for that. Now, when we think about these, this is more like the church standard of how what we're expecting as we're worshiping the Lord, and especially of those who are in leadership positions or in places of public service on the platform. In all of these things, we want to submit our choices to the Lord. And what's more important than me wearing what I want to wear is that God would be glorified. And I want to be careful in everything that I do to draw attention to the Lord and not to myself. And so we need to be cautious with our clothing. We need to be submitted in our clothing, and we need to be aware of the fact that every single day the world is putting more and more pressure on us to conform in this area. The Bible says that older ladies can help the younger ladies with this. Moms can help their daughters. Older ladies in the Lord can come alongside and be an example and a testimony and a help to new converts who are working through these sorts of things. And the thing that I want you to go away with tonight is this: how you dress is not the most important thing. What really is the most important thing is what's going on in your heart. Amen. And if your heart is submitted to the Lord and seeking to love the Lord and seeking to have a personal, vibrant walk with God, I have no doubt that God will bring your life into conformance with exactly what He wants for each and every one of us in this area of our clothing, as well as many other areas of separation. I also want to say that when it comes to people who are guests in our services, I've heard the most ridiculous things. I had somebody say to me one time, "I heard that at your church there's an usher who is waiting at the door for a woman who is dressed inappropriately, and if she comes, he meets her at the door and tells her to leave." Well, I could say with absolute honesty and truth, that's a lie. That is completely false. I don't know of that ever happening in our church. We expect that when people are guests, especially if they don't know the Lord, they have no idea what the Bible says about honoring the Lord with their dress. What we want is for them to hear the Word of God and be challenged from the Scriptures. Now, I suppose there could be a line, I don't even want to go there, all right? Suppose there could be a line where we would have to say, that's just not appropriate. But I think anybody understands that. If you showed up at a restaurant dressed in a certain way, they would say, not appropriate. If you showed up for your flight and you weren't dressed appropriately, they might say, you're not dressed appropriately. You can't get on the flight, which, of course, is all the rage when that happens. Then they make a TikTok video and go viral and tell everybody how the airline are such meanies because they won't let them on their flight. All right. I'm digressing. I don't want people to get this idea. Well, we're going to be going around looking and inspecting about how everybody's dressing and measuring skirts and looking for the length of this or that. No, let's not go there. Let's not have a critical spirit. Let's not have a judgmental spirit. Let's not get the idea, well, I dress more modestly than that person, so I'm a better Christian. You might be a worse Christian. You might not be right with God. The issue is your heart. And I've found that if you give people time and space and you let God work in their heart, God brings them along in all kinds of different areas. However, tonight, it was important that we address this from the Scriptures, that we speak plainly and clearly about what we believe, what we teach and preach, what we're teaching your young people in our youth group, and what we're urging them to consider, because this is where we're coming from. This is what we believe, and we want you to understand that. And we want you to consider in your own life what God would have you do concerning your clothing. And if you just offer it to the Lord as a living sacrifice, I guarantee He'll work out the rest of it in your mind and help you to come to a place where you can please Him.